All right, J-Skins Moneybags, you are one question away from winning $1 million here on Who Wants to Be a Mena?
Oof, like I need it. You know how it is. Fist bump me, bud. There we go. Oh,
all right. Yes, you're the crowd favorite right now.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your $1 million question?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Lewiston, Maine was the site of the infamous 1965 rematch between Muhammad Ali and what former world heavyweight champion? Sonny Raincloud, Sonny Bonbons, Sonny Liston, or Sonny Banana Pants? You have 10 seconds.
Moneybags is going for Banana Pants.
I'm sorry. You have lost the chance at $1 million and all of your earnings. J-Skins Moneybags, you are not a Mena.
I really needed that money, though. I'm due on rent. Hello.
Hello,
and welcome to Homegrown Horror, a Maine spooky podcast about Maine spooky things, true crime, horror, cryptids, murders, ghouls, goblins, all that fun stuff. We're going to be talking about murder today.
Our favorite. I'm Bea, a co-host.
Yes, that's what we do. I'm Jackson, a co-host.
What do you want?
I keep forgetting. I don't know. I've been forgetting how to say my name. Or
who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I? It's fall. Fall has flung.
Pretty much.
It's still warm. We're getting into the 80 degrees, but like, you wake up in the morning here, the 60 degree, nice crisp air.
I love it.
Oh, it's perfect.
I do like summer. So one thing, I have a lot of coworkers that are in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Ooh, Chattanooga.
And it was like 99 on Friday. It was 64 here. And then one of my coworkers lives in Chattanooga, but she's from Louisiana. And she's like, yeah, the heat index this week was 115.
Oh my goodness.
In Louisiana.
Well, like the whole American South and pretty much the rest of the country,
which is they've already got heat. Like they've already done like back to school and shit, and it's because they let school out earlier. My cousins in Indiana were also the same way.
Yeah,
but I'm just like, can you imagine being in school and it's 115 degrees in August?
No, it's awful. I've been my last year in Oregon, it got really close to that temperature. We had like insane heat. And I remember just, you couldn't be outside for that long because you were just sweat through everything. I think like, what was it called? Like a wet bulb this
that
year?
That sounds nasty.
It's something that to do with the heat where it's like you sweat insanely profusely and it's kind of deadly. I didn't like read too into it because I was like, oh God, I don't need this in my life. It's like, I'm concerned about the tragedies happening in my current vicinity. I'm sadly ignorant of what a wet bulb is, but I know it involves a lot of heat and a lot of sweat.
No. Well, yeah. So I feel relatively very happy that it's starting to get cooler again. I do love the summer. I wish I'd gone swimming more. I wish I'd gone to the beach more. But I have literally just barely begun to contain. Like, you were just mentioning the fact that I now have ghost and ghoul ramekins.
I was in her kitchen. I looked around and everything has like a ghost on it. Everything is ghost themed in the apartment. You guys turn over the decorations like a CVS. You're just like way ahead.
Yeah, I've got my Halloween blanket right
you
here.
You are, yeah. It's orange skulls, ghosts on there. Bats, cats.
Yeah, we've been slowly, we've gone to Michael's twice, and we've gone to Home Goods once, and there will probably be more trips. But this year, I'm really trying to go all out. Like, this is how I'm getting through it. Yeah. This is how I'm getting through life. Is
looking forward to moments of joy.
I love the spooks. So love
those spooks.
Yeah, that's why. That's what is doing it for me right now.
What's doing it for me right now is literally as of like yesterday, I bought Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon. Holy shit, that's a fun game.
Is it?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, it's like very it's very intense. It's kind of high adrenaline. It's like you're just moving the entire fucking time. You cannot stop. So it's like you have to like have your jets on constantly as in your mech and just flying around. I got a machine gun and a laser sword, which is what you start with. I've only done like 2 missions. But I'm really excited to keep playing and like build up my arsenal of robot legs and all that stuff and like weapons. And what I really want is like, I want to boost my like special, you have a special sprint basically that's like you charge at enemies. And I really want to up that and like just get 2 really good laser swords on every arm and like just missiles. And that will be it. That'll be my strat.
That's it.
Missiles, laser sword coming at you.
Not extra at all.
Not extra. It's so much fun. I did the first boss. I remember seeing like people on the demos like struggling with them quite a bit. But I was able to like nail this boss in the 3rd try, which I thought was pretty good.
The 3rd try.
3rd try. Yeah, finally got it in. And then like, yeah. It's such a fun game, though. High adrenaline, big robots. It's an interesting story. I'm kind of intrigued to see it, though. But yeah. But it's different. Different than the other Dark Souls games that have come from FromSoft. I like the direction and it's going. People are already complaining how hard it is. And it's like, yeah, we knew that it was going to be hard. That's on you, buddy.
I think that there's also...
Get good. Get good.
I think there is a degree of get good because it's like, if it's too easy, as somebody who does, I like making my characters OP so I can like one hit kill shit. I do. But the thing is like, I also understand that it's like, that's not the fun part.
No, but it can be.
The strategy is usually supposed to be the fun part.
The strategy is part of the fun, but also there is like, especially in the more recent Dark Souls games and also Elden Ring, you can set up a character that does exactly that. That just hits the hardest instantly. I've seen videos where people just like chain a bunch of buffs together and have some specific sword imbued with some specific material. And yeah, they just straight up one-shot bosses with it. So you can play that way. And I'm sure there's going to be some weird exploit in this game where that's effectively what you do.
Yeah, because when I started playing Honkai, I ended up getting 2 characters from the gacha system that I really wanted.
Yeah.
And to get one of them heals and the other one just like destroys everything. He's a healer, but he auto heals.
Wow.
If someone gets under 50%, it just auto heals.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm like, oh no, this is dangerous.
Just keeps you going.
It does. Oh, but this is not a video game podcast.
Yes, this is not a video game podcast. This is a podcast about terrible, awful things. So let's talk about that terrible, awful thing.
All right. I'm buckled up. Click, click.
So we're going to be talking about... There's going to be 2 cases we're talking about wrapped up into one because they cannot be untangled from each other. You can't talk about one without talking about the other because it centers around the same individual. So we're going to be talking about, you know what, let me just start it and then we'll piece it together along the way.
Sounds good to me.
So we're going to be going into Canon, or is it called Canon? Canon Main?
I think of New Canon Days.
New Canon. Okay. New Canon. Canon Days. So we're going to New Canon in 2006. Good year, I think. I don't really remember 2006, honestly. It was before Mass Effect, so that was my earliest memory. So July 2006, Lucille Hoxie in Arizona has been very excitedly talking with her daughter, Cheryl Murdoch, over the phone for a couple days, a couple weeks. Cheryl was finally planning to come to Arizona to see Lucille, her mother, and Sarah, her daughter. Sarah had gone over to live with her grandparents in Arizona because Cheryl was experiencing some financial troubles back home and had sent her off so that she could try to figure things out on her own and, you know, figure out the best way going forward. Makes sense, you know. I've heard of families doing that before. My grandma actually, when she was very young, her mother had to drop off her and the other kids to the nuns for a while because she didn't have any money.
The nuns.
So like the nuns will at that time. This was common, but you know.
So they went to a convent.
You go to a convent. They'll take care of you, their kids, for a bit sometimes. But, you know, like, it's the orphanage, basically.
Yeah.
But if you come back, you can bring your kid back. It's like, it was sort of like, hey, I'm in a really tough financial spot. I don't have the money to take
care
of my kids.
It's like long-term daycare.
Kind of, yeah.
But, and the nuns are here for it.
The nuns are here for it. So
keeps them in business.
I guess one good thing came out of the Catholic Church. But this was a kind of a unique situation. But, you know... not uncommon. It's like, you got to do what you got to do. So Cheryl was doing what she had to do. But she was very excitedly talking with Lucille, talking about her new boyfriend, Shannon Atwood, who was going to be driving her to Arizona to come get her daughter. It looks like her financial
driving
issues.
Driving from Maine
to Arizona. Yeah.
I've flown. Yeah. And that felt like a long time. I mean, you've done a similar drive, but still.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's a long, long time. That's a long.
That's long a long route. Time to be driving with a new boyfriend. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, they had only really known each other for about a month at this point. Like, it was unusual.
I mean, thanks, dude, but also.
Don't say that.
No. Okay.
Okay. So on her last phone call, the day that they were leaving, she was, Lucia was told that, yes, her boyfriend would be coming over, but they would need to stop at a nuclear facility to drop something off.
At a what?
Nuclear facility. It was something nuclear related.
Is that what he did for a living?
He was a truck driver. So he did deliveries.
Of nuclear material.
Okay.
Interesting.
How do you think nuclear material gets around?
I know. I get it.
It's in trucks.
I get
it's in trains.
Okay. Okay.
And it doesn't. Maybe I'm wrong if it was nuclear material. It's like, yeah, it's fine. There was a package.
Interesting.
You had to go deliver it.
Interesting. Not sketchy.
Not at all. It was something for his job. Again, driver, delivery
okay.
driver.
Okay.
But that was the last phone call that Lucille received. It came around the time that she would have arrived to Arizona. Lucille was getting kind of worried. So she didn't hear anything. She waited for a bit. It was expected that she would arrive by July 27. Hearing nothing, she'd filed a missing persons report for Cheryl. Lucille was going to reach out to police. Her only lead that she had was that her daughter was involved with someone named Shannon Atwood. She was even reaching out to Cheryl's cell phone, not getting any answers. She got increasingly worried. She started calling several trucking companies in the area to figure out where Atwood might have worked, where she might have lived. Apparently at that time, Atwood did not work for any trucking company, nor did he own or have access to a tractor trailer truck.
Wait. No.
Yeah.
Sketch.
Yep. On July 26, 2006, the day before Murdoch's disappearance, one of Atwood's friends received a telephone message from Atwood stating that he wanted to speak with her. The number that Atwood was calling from was Cheryl's number. When the friend returned the call, Atwood said that this was a new phone that he got for free.
No.
Yeah. But the phone was eventually found broken into pieces in Atwood's trash. Despite the fact that he said he had never found Murdoch's phone. So...
he's also bad at this, is what you're telling
me. Yeah, he's pretty bad at this. So when they went to go find... when the police went to go talk to Atwood, eventually they did get, you know, his whereabouts. They got to the location and they found Cheryl's truck sitting on the property with the plates removed. They did also find the plates under a workbench in the area.
He's really bad at this.
He's really bad at this.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. So the officers were interviewing Atwood as residents in August of 2006. But when police arrived for the questioning, Shannon ended up locking himself in the bathroom and barricading it. He had armed himself with a bow and arrow and a lighter, stating that he'd turned the gas on in the home and he was going to blow the house up.
Oh, no.
So officers arrested Shannon's dumbass for criminal threatening, reckless conduct, and terrorizing, which earned him a nice 9 months jail sentence.
So they got in.
They got in. He
did not blow the house up.
He did not blow the house up. That was a bluff. Okay. They, got his ass under control here. But yeah, so he's in jail for 9 months. And basically this gives him the police opportunity to do a more thorough search of the property and to get a little more information. Something that was interesting as well was that when that phone call before with the friend... the friend eventually returned a phone call, and Atwood gave that individual directions to a campsite in the woods that he was currently at. To try to get to his location. Mm-hmm. She ended up writing down the directions for the campsite because it was pretty complicated. And apparently one of the reasons was that Atwood believed that by giving complicated directions, that friend would get lost and, like, I don't know, there'd be some kind of alibi that he could rely on.
That...
anyway.
That, oh, well, I was out
camping. Yeah, something like that.
My friend was trying to pick me up, like...
luckily, though, and I don't know why this he would even, like, tell anybody where he was. But, you know, the friend's directions were actually pretty accurate, and they led police to the location of the campsite that he was at. They found cigarette butts, you know, evidence of him having been there. And when they searched the area, they did end up finding Cheryl's body a half mile away from the campsite.
I will say, though, like... Is the silver lining in this that he was bad at it and her family now can have closure? Like, what is this? What the fuck?
Well...
like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that he was involved. Even to the point where they found rope that was near the body on Cheryl and it matched exactly what was already back home at Shannon's home.
Like, what, he literally led the police, thank God, led the police right to the crime scene.
Led a friend and led the police. I mean, he seemed to have given a pretty large amount of evidence. What was also curious is that he still had the truck, like, weeks after this whole event occurred, and other evidence that led the police to him. It's just very strange that... really didn't do a good job.
I guess you could argue that it could have been a crime of passion. It wasn't planned and he was just thinking on the fly, but like...
maybe that. I have no idea. I mean...
what the hell, man?
All I've seen, this guy is an absolute psycho. We'll get a little bit into that.
No.
So... yeah, we're not going to talk about...
poor Cheryl.
...details of the body, but yeah, poor Cheryl.
Oh my God.
So... during the investigation, Shannon was actually married at the time to an individual called Shirley Moon Atwood. Moon Atwood
oh, surely was run.
Attempted to be contacted, but couldn't be reached. The couple was estranged at the time, and...
okay, good. She did run. Okay.
Shirley was living in her Route 23 residence. She was having some financial trouble at the time. She had inherited a sizable amount of money when she was younger from her grandfather alongside the property that she was staying at. But she started in 2006, the government placed a lien on the residence for back taxes. And it seemed that there was some financial strain in Shannon and Shirley's relationship at this time. Mm-hmm. But who's to say? They're living separately, though, because Shannon was having violent outbursts, was being aggressive. They were pretty much in the midst, I believe, of getting a divorce of some kind here or some separation. They couldn't find Shirley at all.
No.
And Shirley had pretty much gone missing about 12 days before Cheryl.
Oh, no.
Some circumstantial and witness testimony would lead people to believe that Shannon is also responsible for Shirley's disappearance. But nothing can be confirmed, unfortunately.
Everyone take a shot when I say, oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, no. You're going to have alcohol poisoning.
Fuck this guy. I think it's also been a long time since I've said that on this show about a murderer. Fuck this guy.
He's a pretty bad guy, and he's had a very rough, violent past. He does have a criminal history for burglary and theft, and he was also convicted on aggravated assault on a previous girlfriend. That girlfriend stated that he had attacked her and threatened to murder her and bury her body in an isolated field. This guy was always nutso.
The thing that I hate the most is saying shit like that. And then, like, if somebody says something like that to you and then you tell the cops, most of the time they're just like, eh, nothing we can do. Like, if you... I don't know how it would work, but there's part of me that's like, can we, like, put a collar on people like this? And track just a them? Tracker? Yeah.
I think that's what, like, the pedophile websites are for, right? Like, there's that government database that...
Yeah, it's like...
They have to track you.
Hi, I made terrible threats against an ex-girlfriend. I need to let you know that before we start dating, legally.
I think that'd be fair.
Just because it's like...
Because you don't know who you're going to be interacting with on a daily basis.
I don't know if there was any, if that girlfriend like tried to take action or anything, but I feel like anybody, and no, there are people that say shit like that and then don't do anything. But you know, do you really want to fucking,
do you want to
roll that dice?
Yeah. I think also just.
Because this man killed two women. Sorry, go ahead.
That's fine. Allegedly killed that. We can't. You know.
Okay. Sure. Allegedly.
Yeah. I know. What was I even saying? I forgot.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm upset.
It's fine. You're allowed to be upset. That's what this is all about. Is it? Yeah, sure.
So, these episodes are about being upset.
This is very upsetting, yes. Authorities wanted to try Atwood for both of the women's murders. At the same time.
I don't think the court's going to let them do that.
But a judge ruled that there had to be two separate trials. Yeah, they weren't going to do that.
Because one seems like a slam dunk. The other one is...
somewhat shaky.
Fuck.
Witness testimony. Not too much solid evidence, unfortunately. So...
just a... crazy coincidence, his lawyer will say. Yeah. Very crazy.
So in November 07, prosecutors dropped the murder charge against Shannon related to Shirley's death. They said there was insufficient evidence to proceed to trial.
Well, they don't even know if she's dead.
That's the thing. Yeah, they don't know if she's dead, but nothing's come out. The case is still open.
Okay.
In July of 08, Atwood was convicted of Murdoch's murder in a bench trial. He was sentenced to 55 years.
I wonder why they went with a bench trial instead of a jury trial.
I think because hard to get an unbiased pool of peers now. I think that's it. Honestly, this guy might have been a shithead and might have been a known shithead in the community. Could be possible.
I mean, you could have always said, you know, change of venue. But I guess, I suppose if you're a lawyer, that's a gamble as well, because it's, I don't know, you've got all these small communities in Maine. I don't ever remember hearing about this, but it's not to say that, you know, even if it was moved to a different county, that people wouldn't know. You're probably right. They probably were like, this guy's a shithead, and people will know he's a shithead. So better
he's got to an have asshole the, face.
This man better has, to have just the judge.
This man we has just have to no redeeming qualities.
We just have to convince one person of his innocence. Anyway.
Yeah, so the judge was none too kind with his words, calling him a cold-blooded monster.
Good.
And calling the act of the murder itself cold-blooded as well.
He's never said why. I mean, I assume that he's like, no, I didn't do it.
I mean, yeah, his whole thing was, I didn't do it. He blamed Murdoch leaving on, like, her drug use or something like that.
I just happened to be in the same area where her body was. So, such a coincidence.
Such
Fuck
a coincidence.
You.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Asshole. But yeah, the evidence was stacked against him on this one. But, you know, family members of Shirley and Murdoch's were in the courtroom together, holding hands. They cried together, knowing that some justice would be put on
the books.
Shannon here.
Yeah. So Shirley's family probably is pretty damn sure.
I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes you just get a feeling, and they would have that, a much stronger idea of if this person did do this.
Yeah.
Which seems pretty likely. Yeah, I get it that you don't have the right evidence there. Yeah, allegedly.
All right, look at our lawyer. Look at the bobblehead. Yeah?
Nod, Perry Mason.
Thank you, Perry.
Thank you. But yeah, I mean, he was a complete asshole during the trial as well. I mean, he was just like stone-faced the entire time. No reaction. Real dick bag. So yeah, now he's in prison and... yeah, I think it says he'll be like 94 when he's out. So, if he makes it then. Ugh. And that's that. This was a pretty rough one.
I mean, short but rough.
Short but rough. But yeah, you really cannot talk about these things
separately. No, they are, yeah.
Because of the coincidence of like the timing involved and sort of the discovery of Shirley missing happening in the midst of that case already occurring.
So I wonder if that means that if he did it, that Shirley's disappearance happened. Like, did he do this around the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Which right. also means I don't think you can argue a crime of passion. It sounds like he, I don't know. And he's never going to tell us.
No, he's keeping that to himself. I mean, he's already basically living in prison for the rest of his life. So why would he? What more? There it is right there. Like, why doesn't he just confess? They're going to put you in prison for longer. You're already living there.
You're already there. Just to be an asshole.
Yeah, I guess.
Just to be an asshole.
So he is an asshole.
Cause more suffering.
If you have any information related to the disappearance of Shirley Moon Atwood, please contact the Maine State Police at 800-452-4664. This was a little bit of a shorter episode, but thank you so much for, I mean, This needs to be talked about.
There is also, because in another case that I will be doing, I did find out that there is also on Maine.gov, there is an online submission form as well for tips.
Oh, okay. So if you're antisocial and don't want to talk to a cop,
you can submit form anonymously online as well. Honestly, only do it if you have actual information. Don't be one of those assholes that's like, well, I heard something one time from my friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend that he's an asshole. Don't do that. Only if you have actual substantial tips. Do not flood them with bullshit. Because that's another thing that happens. Like, hate it. What is that?
Hey, don't worry about it. I'm trying to find the Maine-ism. Hey, it's a Maine-ism. Okay.
All right. So we're going to do something a little bit different. So fun fact, we just found that BuzzFeed has a Do You Know What These Maine Slang Words Mean quiz.
I'm so happy about this right now.
So thanks, BuzzFeed. So which of these sentences uses the word wicked improperly?
Wicked being what is wicked? I guess we'll find out here. So I've got a first. There's four options. First, I've got a wicked awful cold. Two, he bought that car for a wicked price. Three, she had a wicked buzz on. Four, these boots are a wicked bargain.
I'm going to say I got a... Hold on.
Now, what's...
So I think they're which probably... Which of these
is using the word improperly?
They're probably saying wicked in a positive.
Or...
Because you could also say a wicked pissa. So a wicked awful.
Wicked awful.
A wicked price is crazy.
I think wicked buzz... Oh, is the one.
You think that's the one?
Yeah. What'd you get?
Well, because I listened to you. He bought the car for a wicked price. I would say that, though.
And that wicked, was wrong?
Wicked can... Yeah. Wicked, in my mind, can be either positive or a negative.
Okay. For a wicked price. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't understand that. So, wicked implies an extreme degree. So, it'd make more sense to say, he bought that car for a wicked good price.
Well, then you could say the same thing for a wicked buzz. She had a wicked bad buzz.
Wait, yeah, no, this is confusing. It's like he's saying, what's using this improperly?
Yeah, there's wicked awful, wicked bargain, a wicked buzz. Like, is it a good buzz? Is she behaving well?
I think that whoever wrote this set this quiz up, like, pay attention to their own rules here. Anyway,
where
is a person from if they are from away?
Outside Maine.
We don't even need to read the other ones. Boom. You've been invited to go sledding. Which of these do you bring? Either a jet ski, a tube, a snowmobile, or snowshoes? I think snowmobile. What do you think?
I know the answer.
It's probably snowmobile. I'm going to hit snowmobile.
It's a snowmobile.
That's what sledding is in Maine, all y'all.
Can we pause for a second? Okay. I tell you? No.
Oh, like, not
pause the quiz.
Okay, pause the quiz.
I know, like, this is going to be the longest Maine-ism, but I think it was a short enough episode that that's fine. And if you're still sticking around, now you're going to hear a fun story. So my family used to go to Rangeley to go snowmobiling,
yeah.
Like my whole extended family. And one time they were all out and one of my cousins who was like the youngest in the group. But he's older than me. He's like 2 or 3 years older than me. So he's bringing up the rear and they're all going over this hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can't see what's at the bottom. And he goes up over the hill and comes down. And unfortunately, there was still one of the group at the bottom of the hill.
Ooh! Take out his knees.
Oof. No, the ski of the snowmobile went up the guy's ass.
Oh my God! No! Oh, that's awful.
I don't know. What do you have to do to get in this position? But here we are.
Here we are.
And if I were him, I would have never gone back.
I would be. Either of them. I'd be traumatized. That would be. I'd be scared away from snowmobiles.
Feels after that.
Yeah, that'd mm-hmm. be an awful experience. Thank you for that terrible story.
You're welcome. Back to the quiz.
All right. The word numb could mean any of these things except which one? Could mean any of these things except one. Okay.
So we have shocked, unemotional, numerous, stupid.
I'm going to say numerous.
Yeah.
Correct.
Because in main slang, numb is stupid.
Yes. Numb is stupid. So being more related to that. Figured, okay. And also numerous stands out among all these options. So I guess if you're going to just use that logic. Which of these words is used to refer to lobsters? Bug, squid, scrod, or steamer?
I also know this answer. So
I think it's
steamer. I'm recusing myself from some of these.
Okay, that's fine. I think it's steamer. I think it's steamer. Why would you call it bug? What are you in fucking... What was that? You know, that movie in space, Super Troopers.
I was going to say Alien.
Damn it!
Yep, it is a bug because...
If something's out bugging, it means
they're lobsters used to be prison food.
That's true.
They are bugs. Your friend from Maine says that they got their car got stove up. What do they mean? I don't fucking know.
I think it means damaged. It got damaged, it got snowed, and it was borrowed, it was stolen.
I'm going to say, it is damaged.
Ha ha! Stove up means broken or damaged. Crushing it here. You tell a Mainer about the fish you caught, and this is, and his response is, Dow!
Daw!
Daw!
It's more like daw.
Dow!
Daw.
The Dow of Jones!
Think of like Homer Simpson. Don't.
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 How do you suppose he feels? Impressed, doubtful, jealous, unmoved. I'm going to say impressed. Oh.
It's doubtful.
Okay, yeah. Doubt.
Dow.
Dow. An exclamation of dow is a common way to express negation or skepticism. Oh, we just talked about this one. What does cunning mean in Maine slang?
Cute.
Sexy.
It's cute.
Cute. As in, look at the baby, ain't he cunning? Why is it always about babies? Okay. You ask a Mainer if they want to have dinner, but they say they're drove right up. What does this mean? Busy, full, sick, or broke?
I made an assumption on this one. I said busy.
I also assume it's busy, but your response just there makes me think it's not busy. I'm going to say broke.
Oh, no, it was busy.
Dang it!
So, I scored 97% better of other quiz takers. I got one wrong. Finest kind. Jeezum, ain't you something smart?
You scored better than 71% of all other quiz takers. Woo. Some good, not bad, but you need to spend more time up to camp, da.
Oh, look at it. It's Angela Lansbury.
Look at that. Look at Angela
Lansbury. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast. I fucking love Murder, She Wrote.
I know you do. Well, that was, oh boy. What a fun. What a fun little quiz. Woo. Thanks, BuzzFeed, even though I think the first question's fucked.
The first question is a little, I would have gotten 100 other ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was real interesting. Daw.
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 Thank you so much for joining us on this episode. If you want to reach out to us or ask us any questions, there is a little QA or poll thing at the bottom of the Spotify page that you can check out. We love getting responses. You can also hit us up at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod.
You can reach out to us for anything. I've been talking with the Misery Machine podcast about concerts, and it's a grand old time.
Woo!
So if you want to talk about, because we just went to Ghost, so if you want to be like, hey, I was at Ghost, or hey, like, what other concerts have you been to? You want to jam out sometime? Hit us up.
I'll fight you in Armored Core.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Bye.